All right, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so when I was probably your age, although that makes me sound old, you get old when you start, when I was your age. But anyway, when I was your age, the one question that I always asked was, well, why won't God speak to me? Okay, why won't God speak to me? Like, I want to hear God's voice. Like I said, I went on a mission trip to Mexico, and when I was 13 years old, got a shot in the butt. Actually, where's Mary? There you are. Sorry, I'm going to embarrass you, okay? It was her mom that shot me in the butt, okay? So you could talk to her mom about it. I'm just kidding. All right, so anyway, I got a shot in the butt. I was sick. I was throwing up a lot, and the shot helped, so you know, you could tell your mom that if you want. But I experienced God for the first time, and through like this time of worship that we were doing, and then after I got back from Mexico, what I wanted to do was, since I finally realized that God was real for the first time, I wanted to know more about God. Like, I wanted to hear more about him. I wanted to know what he was like. I wanted to know more about him. And so I just went on this journey where I'd look through God's word, and I would read certain things in the Bible. But the thing that I felt was missing was, I just want God to speak to me. Like, why won't he? I want to hear his voice. I want him to talk to me like I can talk to, you know, Sam here, okay? Like, Sam, what's your favorite color?
Green.
You're going to say blue, aren't you? Is really green? Okay, is it Rhinelander green? That's your favorite color? Okay, so I'd love for God to talk to me like that. Like, let's say God is Sam. Sam is God today, okay, everybody? So you have to bow down to him, or he will turn you into a frog or something like that. Not really. But that's how I wanted to have that kind of interaction with God, where he would speak to me. And what I realized as I continued to look deeper and talk to him more is that God was actually already speaking to me. He was already talking to me through certain things. And we're going to look at this passage of scripture in 1 Kings. We're actually going back to 1 Kings. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to get there. While you're turning, I'll just kind of set up the story again. So if you remember Elijah, we're going back to Elijah here, okay? So Elijah was, he had a little bit of trouble because, whoops, I just broke that. So Elijah had a little bit of trouble because there he goes. You know, he looks like, you know, he's just doing his thing. He's like striking the pose. That's kind of cool. But anyway, so Elijah had a little trouble because if you remember yesterday, he did this whole thing where, you know, where he set up the sacrifice and then God came and consumed the sacrifice. Well, if you remember, King Ahaz didn't like that. And Queen Jezebel, his wife, didn't like that. So they basically pursued him to kill him. Because, again, they were saying he causes so much trouble. So they pursued him just to kill him because they didn't like what he was doing. And so he ran, and he ran pretty far. He ran probably about 3 days' journey to a place called Mount Horeb, otherwise known as Mount Sinai. I think I got a picture. So, yeah, you remember that, God consuming the sacrifice. So he flees to this mountain. Where is it? Okay. Whoops, sorry. Okay. He flees to this mountain. I was supposed to put a picture of a mountain up there. And something really strange happens, okay? So this from where he was, from Mount Carmel to Mount Horeb, I mean, that's a really long journey. I mean, it literally probably took him like at least 3 or 4 days walking. I think it actually took more closer to a week. 3 weeks? Is that what you said?
It also took 3 days.
3 days, okay, yeah. You can look. Yeah, look today. All right, so we're on chapter 9, 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to start in, where is that? It looks like verse 9, or verse 10, actually. And says, so Elijah was just in distress because he's actually feeling a little bit depressed because these people are trying to kill him, and he's just like, I'm only trying to do God's work. So, you know, what's going on, God? And so the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? So Elijah's sitting under a bush, and he's like, what are you doing here? And Elijah replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by you. So the Lord answers him. So this is kind of cool. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. So there's this huge wind so powerful that it starts to shatter the rocks around the mountain. It's probably a lot of noise. It's probably very, very loud. So then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire either. So there's this wind, there's an earthquake, and there's fire. But it says the Lord is not in the fire. So you can just imagine there's this big noise. Has anybody ever been to Cape Canaveral, Florida? Anybody ever been there before? All right, so you've been there before. Okay, so they used to, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to launch rockets, you know, into space from there, okay? I think it's Cape Canaveral. They used to launch rockets from space there, okay? And if you've ever gotten a chance to witness this, this is kind of it's actually a freaky phenomenon because, if you can't really get too close to it because otherwise, you know, you'd die because, you know, all the, you burn up. But as you see you have to get up really early in the morning. It's, you know, usually they launch it in the dark sometime. So you get up early in the morning and you can't really, you're like a mile away from where they launch this thing. So you see it, you know, they do the countdown and you see it, you know, floating up in the air and stuff. And it's just kind of quiet and it seems a little anticlimactic. But then all of a sudden, after a couple of minutes, as you start to see it arc up into the air, you feel this kind of a little bit of a breeze coming, all right? And you hear a little bit of a low rumble. And then all of a sudden it starts to build up some more and it gets a little bit louder and you start to feel a little bit more of a breeze. And then it gets really loud and you feel like this more of a breeze and all of a sudden it's so loud that you're like talking to the person in front of you, you can't hear what they're saying because you're like, oh, can you hear me? You can't hear what the person is saying next to you because all the exhaust or whatever the blowback, the blast that's coming down is coming at you from a mile away. And it's a freaky thing. It's like, it's really scary. Like you're thinking, oh, it's not a big deal, but it's a really scary thing. And that's what I kind of imagine this phenomenon being when Elijah's and at the base of the mountain, there's this wind, there's this fire, there's this earthquake, and so there's all this noise. But then all of a sudden, what it says here at the end here is it says, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. So there's this big noise, and all of a sudden it just stops, and there's a gentle whisper. What's up? Okay. All right, so it was a big journey. It was 40 days and 40 nights. I was totally off. Thanks, CJ. All right, so all of a sudden, so there's this big wind, and all of a sudden it just completely stops, and there's this gentle whisper. And it says here, it says, when Elijah heard it, when he heard the gentle whisper, it actually translation means when he heard the silence, when he heard the whole natural phenomenon, when he heard it stop, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So Elijah's in turmoil because, you know, he's facing adversity and he can't figure out what's going on here. And all of a sudden, God directs him 40 days and 40 nights out into the wilderness to Mount Horeb. And he gets up on top of the mountain. He's in this cave. He goes to the base of the cave. This huge, noisy storm phenomenon comes in. And all of a sudden, it just completely stops. And he hides his face because he realizes that God is speaking to him. And I was always wondering, like, why does that happen? Like, why would God not be in an earthquake, or why would not God not be in a fire? Well, this is what I think it means. We often think that God is going to talk to us in some like huge bass voice, right? We think that He's going to it sounds like, you know, Darth Vader or something like that. You know, I am your father, or you know, something like that. Like, we often think that God is going to talk to us like that, but oftentimes God talks to us in a whisper. In the quiet, when we're the most quiet. A lot of people, I'm a dreamer, and I think a lot of times God talks to me in dreams. So I mean, I'll have a dream, and then something will actually happen like later on that day. I get deja vu probably once a week or once or twice a week. God speaks to me a lot through dreams. But I realize as I've gotten older, as I've experienced more of God, as I've experienced more of talking to God, I realize that it's not often when I'm busy or when my mind is racing. It's not often when God speaks to me like internally, and it almost seems like it's more of my thoughts than anything. But it can't be because I know most of the time I don't know what to do with things. All right, we're going to look at one more passage of Scripture, and we're actually going to backtrack. We looked at 1 Samuel yesterday, and we're going to look at it again. At this guy named Samuel. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So Samuel was a prophet, and while you're turning there, I'm just going to explain a little bit to you. Samuel was a prophet, meaning that he was the voice of God to the people, just like Elijah was a prophet. And he was a little guy when he came into the temple, so he lived there. Like, you guys have had lock-ins in the church. His whole life was a lock-in at church because he stayed there, he slept there, he ate there, all that kind of stuff. And so so he was dedicated to the Lord by his mom. And chapter 3, verse 1 says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions." And then we're skipping down to verse 4. "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.'" So Eli's he's asleep in bed. I'm sure you've heard the story before. He's asleep in bed, and he hears this voice call his name. And he ran to Eli. Eli was the priest, the priest that was in charge of him. He was in charge of the temple. So he was like his mentor, his surrogate dad in a sense. "Again, the Lord, here I am," verse 5. "And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call you, go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Verse 6, "Again, the Lord said, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call you, go back to lie down.' Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." That's kind of a weird thing because he's in the house of the Lord. And this just kind of hopefully shows you how bad things were in Israel, that Samuel lives in the house of the Lord. He lives at church, yet he doesn't know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli, the high priest, realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So the interesting thing about Samuel is that he's there, he's lying down, he's trying to go to sleep, and he keeps hearing these voices. He's hearing voices, really. He's hearing a voice, and he thinks it's Eli. He thinks it's a voice that he recognizes. He doesn't recognize that it's God's voice calling to him. And I read that story because I think that's oftentimes I think we don't recognize that God is actually speaking to us. I would venture to say that every single one of you have probably heard God speak to you before, but you just didn't recognize it because maybe you thought it was your own thoughts or whatever. God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. I mean, he speaks to us through his word. In the Bible, I mean, he's spoken to people through dreams. He's spoken to people through writing on the wall. He's spoken to people through animals. He's spoken to people through rainbows. He's spoken to people through the storms. He's spoken to people through silence. He's spoken to people by appearing to them. He's done all these kinds of things. And God is doing the same thing today as he was doing back then. So the question for us is, can we listen to him? Can we hear what he's saying? In fact, in John, it says that my sheep know my voice, and they know him. My sheep recognize my voice. That's how I know. That's how they know they're my sheep. It's just that you have to recognize how he's speaking to you, what he's saying to you, and the fact that it's him. I remember the first time I realized it, I was like, oh, I've heard that voice before, but I just thought it was like my own thoughts again. So the challenge for us again is that God is speaking to us. God does speak to each and every single one of us. He speaks to you through your pastor. He speaks to you through your parents. He speaks to you through God's word. But you just have to continue to seek him, continue to pay attention to him. And not only that, but when he tells you to do something, when he speaks to you, obey what he says. Because the more and more that you listen to him, the more you're able to recognize his voice, the more you're able to do what he says, and the more that he'll tell you what to do. So with that, I'm just going to close this. And here's my challenge to you this today, is as you're going throughout the day, and you can even pray this right now, is, Lord, would you speak to me today? Would you speak to me somehow, some way today? So let's pray. God, you are God. You're not hiding. You are here with us. You're in us. And I pray for people here that they'd be hungry, that we would be hungry to hear what you have to say, and that we would take the time to listen, that we would recognize your voice, how you speak to us, and that we would respond to it, and that we would obey it. In Jesus' name, amen.